In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Like all gifts of God, emotions and feelings are to be used according to Scripture. So a big part of growing up and a big part of maturing as a Christian is learning to control one's emotions. Society even used to say, "Think before you speak, don't give an emotional response." But I fear our age has completely lost control of its feelings. For them, whatever they think is right and true, and no one can tell them how to feel. Even their feelings can create reality. But feelings are fickle. More than that, feelings themselves are corrupted by our sinful flesh. They are not pure just because we have a feeling. So to live by one's feelings and to do whatever we feel is good and right is really to live by our sinful nature. Even as if we were to live solely by our reason, we would be living by our sinful nature. But I guess my greater fear is when believers live by their emotions and let their feelings and experiences define their relationship with God. A Christian will not ignore his feelings. As I said, feelings are a gift of God. But he also understands that he cannot trust in them. For the sinful nature is quick to take those feelings and to make them our everything. So the Christian will not get too high with the highs lest he love the gifts of God more than the giver. And he won't get too low with the lows lest he despair of God's love. Now look at the Pharisee. He feels good about himself. According to him, he had kept the law of God outwardly. No doubt this was of great benefit to his neighbor, not hurting or stealing or harming him in any way. He feels good about how he treated his neighbor. He feels good about his relationship with God's word. And so he feels as if God should accept him for who he is. He bases his salvation on himself and his works and how he views them, rather than on the word of God. So he goes to the temple to give something to God, namely to thank and praise God that he is such a good person. And no doubt he feels good about himself while he does this. Now we contrast that with the tax collector. He goes to the temple to be forgiven. We assume that he was a bad guy, that he was a crook, because most tax collectors were, but maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was just as outwardly pious and upstanding as the Pharisee. Maybe he didn't feel any guilt either. But that doesn't matter to him. What matters to him is what the Word of God says, and that Word says, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." So he confesses his sinful nature, whether he feels it or not, because that is what the Word of God has said. He confesses his own sins, whether he sees them, feels them, or not, because that is what the Word of God says. He lives by the Word, not by his feelings. So he confesses that he has a loving and merciful Savior. The word that he uses for mercy is different than what we say when we sing, "Lord, have mercy on us, Christ, have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us." That word for mercy is asking God as a beggar for help. But the word that the tax collector uses is different. Literally, he says, "Give a sacrifice to cover me, a sinner." He's looking toward the altar of God, knowing that only God can provide the true atoning blood to remove not only his sins, but even his fallen flesh. He believes the word of God calls him a sinner, so he confesses his sin. He believes the word of God also reveals to him a Savior, so he confesses that Savior. And his actions then conform to his faith. The Pharisees do as well. The Pharisee stands up, probably in a prominent position, looks up to heaven, and thanks God for all that he is. He thinks that he is accepted by God because of what he has done and how he feels. Whereas the tax collector stands off at a distance and refuses to look up to heaven. He knows that God is holy and he himself is not. He beats his breast because he is the one who is the sinner. And he is held accountable for those sins, regardless of what he feels or doesn't feel. His actions conform to his faith, for he recognizes he is the one who stands accountable before God for all that he has done. It is easy for us to be like the Pharisee. We have not committed murder, robbery, adultery, any of those other great sins. We are fine, upstanding young people. We desire to live according to the Word of God. And so when life is going well for us, when we carry out the works of God that we desire to do, we feel good about our relationship with God. And conversely, when sicknesses, disease, and hardship come, when we fall into sin, we feel like somehow God is against us and wonder why we must go through this or that. So is that living by one's feelings or living by the Word of God? You see how easy it is to base our relationship with God on our feelings instead of the Word of God. But our feelings are not always right. Sometimes they are just completely wrong. So we cannot trust those feelings. The sinful flesh is very quick to put our feelings above the Word of God. So we may not feel like a sinner, but it's true. So we confess that we are a sinner. We may not feel guilty, but it's true, we are. So we confess our sins before God. We may not feel like we deserve God to take away every good earthly gift and to give us only pain, misery, and suffering all our days. We may not feel like we deserve eternal torment in hell with Cain, Judas, and all people who have ever lived. But the Word of God is clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So we do not compare ourselves to others. We do not point the finger at other people. We do not even trust our own feelings. We believe the Word of God above all things, so we speak the truth about ourselves and our fallen state, regardless of how we feel, because we live by the Word of God and not by those feelings. We speak the truth about God and who He is, regardless of how we feel, because we live by that Word. Only Christ brings us into a right relationship with God. Only His blood atones for all our sins. Only His perfect life and death covers our sinful flesh. So we are justified before God. Whether we feel like it or not, we are, because Christ has died and Christ has been raised for us. We have a dear, loving Father in heaven who does all things for our good, whether we had the worst week or the best week, because Christ's atoning death reconciles us to God and God to us. We may not feel justified, but we are. We may not feel like God's treasured possession, but we are. We may not feel like God is on our side, but He is, always. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Our feelings change depending on what we're going through, but the Word of God always remains the same. Calvary's sacrifice will never change. And so what you are in Christ never changes. So like the tax collector, our actions match our faith, not only out there in the world, but also in here, in the house of God. We adopt ceremonies that confess our faith, not simply ceremonies that make us feel good. So we kneel and we bow, if able, to confess that the Holy God is present and we are unworthy of all His grace and love. We make the sign of the cross to confess that only by Christ's cross are we reconciled to God and God to us. And all other ceremonies, even the way we set up our church, from where we put the altar and the pulpit and the pews and the windows and all other things, everything is meant to confess and to teach that God himself is present to give us his loving forgiveness. And we are unworthy of such things. Far too many miss that point. Far too many, like the Pharisee, are coming to give something to God. So far too many look for a service that is uplifting, music that inspires, or a pastor who's good at motivating. I didn't feel God's presence there, they say. They're looking for God in their feelings. So it's not surprising that their services look completely different from our service. It's not surprising that their pastor dresses and acts completely different from our pastor. It's not surprising they even build their sanctuary completely different. We're not looking for God in our feelings. We're looking for him in the word and in the sacrament. So let us not confuse faith and feelings, but let our actions conform to the word of God. Let our ceremonies always teach and confess that a holy God is present to forgive us and to unite us to him once more. Yes, sometimes we are uplifted and inspired and motivated. Sometimes not. Sometimes we do feel good as we walk out of the sanctuary, but other times not. Either way, it won't trouble us, for we do not live by how we feel. We live by what God has told us in his word. Only that word defines our relationship with God. Only that word. Our feelings are often wrong, but the word of God is always right and true. So back to the word, which means back to the cross of Christ. Only that word has justified us before God, because only the cross of Christ justifies us. The cross defines us. The word and the sacraments reveal the truth about us and God. We won't trust our feelings. We trust only the word of God. We are sinners, conceived and born in sin, even if we feel blameless and holy. We are justified, even if we feel ashamed. We are declared not guilty, even if we feel guilty. We are holy, even if we feel unworthy. We are saints, saints of God and heirs of heaven, even if we feel sinful. The cross is our reality. The word and the sacraments define what is true for us. So let us live by that word and by those sacraments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.